Well, well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, this being show number 110, and this is February 24th, 2005, and we're recording right now at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive here in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we'll talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed with the blind in mind, of course. Our host for the show, my good friend Don Shaw.
Hey there, Mr. Tom.
Don,
how are you doing
going,
on
buddy?
This rainy afternoon?
Yeah, oh, yes, sir. It's kind of wet out. Don Patterson.
Yeah, Thomas. We'll look forward to seeing you real soon.
It's certainly nice to have you with us. And, of course, cooking in the dark host, Dale Campbell's with us today.
Howdy, everybody.
Y'all
drug me out of the kitchen and threw me in the wood shop.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm Tom Houston, by the way. But here he is. Here's the guy that started it all, the creator and producer of Blind Handyman, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
Pretty exciting, isn't it? Huh? To be here with. How you feel, sir?
Oh, I feel fine. I think they've about got me in rhythm and in beat or whatever they call it.
We're down to 61 beats a minute, did you say?
Yes, sir. Last I looked, it was 61 beats per minute.
That's pretty slow. Much lower than that. Yeah. You'll be nodding off.
No kidding.
That's right.
Time for the big dirt nap.
That's right. It's a little,
kind of stuff.
A little bit different when it's running that slow when
it
I'm running up in the 80s all
but
the time.
But it's breathing easier and eating that good hospital food. Boy,
well, I'm you call it that. Yes, sir.
I think we should adjourn to Ray's West. For a big
cold beer.
I don't think that hurt a thing.
No, you get that. You get that nurse in there. You can find your clothes, and we'll be by and pick you up as soon as I can find the keys.
That's right.
Dale said we could break you out after the show this afternoon. I guess. Yeah.
I guess I would have to escape right now.
Yeah, you would. You don't want to do that. My doctor. What the deal is Medicare. If you light a shuck, Medicare won't pay.
Uh-oh. That's right.
Because I was going to do it. I said, you know, to hell with it. My heart's fine. I'm leaving. And she said, well, Medicare won't pay if you do. And Luann said, no, you're not.
Well,
you know,
we broke him out, we'd have another party to deal with, and that'd be the first of Cleta May.
That's true.
She'd come gunning for us, I bet you.
Well, the thing about it is, a problem like this, you don't want to go until it's fixed anyway.
No, you don't. That's
because
right.
You won't have any fun.
Did you? Did Boop and Susie call you?
Yeah, I talked to Boop. I haven't talked to Susie as of yet, but I talked to Boop about an hour the other day.
Is that right?
And while we're on that subject, I'd like to thank everybody who participated in the conference call that Phil put together last week on
the
my birthday.
Conference
to wish me happy
call.
Birthday and get well wishes and all that. That was real nice. You know who you are, and I thank you so much.
You all know who you are. But
and you know who you weren't.
You're still in the step-down, right? They're fixing to move you to a regular.
Right. They could walk in the door right now and want to take
If they do, put one of them on the phone.
I won't let them until we get through here.
Put one of them on the phone if they do, and we'll visit
we'll
with
talk
them.
To them.
Actually, we're running short of guests. Don's guest fell through today, and so just grab an orderly.
That's right.
All right, you got an email to read, right, sir?
Yes, I've got a little here.
All right, go ahead.
It says, hi, I bought a snake called the Grabber. Now, this is about 2.5 feet long. It's got a trigger on the top, which when pushed down will engage four-finger type of stiff wire at the bottom.
Yeah.
All you do is run the grabber down the drain at either the bottom of the drain's elbow or corner, press the trigger, and after you grab the culprit or hairball or whatever it is, to press the trigger and bring the little bad boy back up.
Okay.
At the end of the grabber should be something to write home about, but it's nasty looking too. I purchased this grabber at Home Depot here in Salem, Massachusetts. It cost about $5. This is a tool that everybody should have. While I'm here, I want to thank all of you on the list. And the Handyman Show. You guys are the best. Andy and Guide Dog Elliot.
All right. I've never seen one. I'd like to have
Sounds like a good tool to have around the house.
It sounds like something
I'd
everybody
like,
could use.
I'd be interested to know, I mean, he says what doesn't go around corners. I mean, obviously it would just be good for something kind of. Seems like every leak or clog I've had has been further down.
Yeah.
That'd be great, though, for getting down in if something's stuck in the trap or, you know, just a little ways down so you wouldn't have to get under the sink and tear the whole sink apart.
That's right.
Exactly.
It'd be pretty cool.
For $5, I'd have one.
I'd buy anything for $5.
Yeah.
There's nothing I won't spend. But speaking of that, you know what a French drain is? French drain's a drain underground. It runs with holes in the pipe and has a little cover over it. And theoretically, the water will carry the water away. Well, ours is stopped up, and I bought. We were always talking about these deals that expand when you put them on the end of a water hose. I got one that expands up to 6 inches.
Oh, man. Wow.
It is huge. I didn't know they made one.
I didn't
big.
Either.
But if you got a big pipe that needs, they make a bigger one. They make a small one and a big one. I didn't know they made two sizes. But if you got a drain that's stopped up, it'll take care of it.
Put that on the end of your water hose and go for it.
Oh, man, it's
or
huge.
Tear the house down, kidding. One or the other.
Boy, that thing ought to be like a fire hose, man.
It is. I'll show it to you when we get off. It's immense. I couldn't believe it.
Man.
Anyway, Tommy. What?
Okay, it says, greetings. Several years ago, I purchased a computer desk that did not come with a hutch.
Yep.
For years, I've been thinking about building myself one, and I've been wondering how I'm going to accomplish many of the tasks involved in building a piece of furniture.
Right. Yeah.
So far, I've got an audio level and a talking tape measure, and I'm wondering what other tools have features that make them particularly useful to blind woodworkers.
What do you say, had a tape measure?
Talking tape measure.
Talking tape and a level.
Tape measure and an audible level.
Audible level.
And he's building a hutch?
And he wants to build a hutch.
I'd say he would need a miter saw, perfect companion.
Yep, miter saw, definitely. That. Router, table saw.
Because he's probably going to be working with 12-inch material. I mean, your hutch is probably going to set back shorter than your desktop, right? You wouldn't want it out even with the desktop. So probably, like, if your normal shelves or bookcases, 1x12, Dale, maybe?
Yeah, definitely 1x12 at least, if not a little bit larger. And something you could, depending on the ability, if you're just starting off building your first one, I would definitely go, with some 1x12s.
Yeah, and maybe on your first attempt, not buy the best lumber and see if you can do it. Start out with some pine or something you can. And, you know, we talked about this last week on the show with blind people talking about nailing. And we talked about electric nail guns.
Yeah.
Or, you know, because pneumatic nail guns may be a little prohibitive to start with. But
price-wise, they will shoot
small nails, finishing nails. You can set the depth actually where it will hide the nail. And then you can put in your wood filler or whatever. So, I think Don Shaw has one in probably, $69-$70?
Yeah, for the electric one.
Get you that gun.
Right.
It's very safe, very driving nail straight. So.
Boy, a hutch as a first project is
a big undertaking.
You might build a great doghouse first or something.
Or start off with just a set of basic bookshelves.
Yeah.
And then you could elaborate from the bookshelves into the hutch by adding some extra designs on the side pieces and
you've almost got
doors and hinges and a hutch, that's a great project.
Yeah. Oh, sure it is.
Yeah, I actually did that, and I started off with the shelf. I just built a thing that sat on the top of my desk, and it had two shelves. And then I closed in the back, and then I said, no, I'm going to start over. And then I built with the doors on the top shelf and that sort of thing.
But that's pretty – and the hutch
noble,
is pretty
– a noble undertaking.
Oh, it is an ambitious project, that's for sure.
Be anxious to find out how that comes out and – take notes as you go along because you can always learn. That's one thing I've always noticed. When I build something, it seems like after I get done, there's always 10 other ways I could have done it a lot easier.
You always
than the
look
way
back
I
and
had.
Think, well, I could if I'd done this.
Yeah.
And remember this, you can't have too many tools.
No.
It's always an excuse.
Call Ryder, back the U-Haul up to Home Depot.
But it'll be like the box that Sean and I built that we could have got for Walmart for $160, and we got about $225 in it.
Yeah, same kind of deal.
You might go to Walmart and look for your hutch there, it might be cheaper. Anyway, Thomas?
Okay, it says, hi, folks. This morning, cup of coffee in hand and with a few small pieces of chocolate to help wash the coffee down.
Uh-huh.
I've read a number of messages on various subjects which I hardly could understand. I'm reading on electronics, design of roof assemblies, and many other subjects. Why am I so thoroughly enjoying my ignorance and lack of experience? It's because all this is being done by blind folks, and obviously at very high levels of expertise. It just points out that it is often not the blindness that's the barrier, but the perception.
Yeah.
So here you all are in the position of amazing your blind friends with what you can do. Not exactly a role reversal, but an interesting perspective. Keep the posts coming. This comes from Tim Ford.
Who has been on the show and is on the list.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah, I was telling these guys, almost anything you ask on the list, there's going to be a guy. Like, Dad, you've done some, you're pretty much a roofing guy. I mean, you know a lot about roofing.
Yeah. No roofing, no woodworking, no concrete work,
yeah.
no you've done a lot all of that. Everything. And, you know, and if you don't, there's always a list to fall back.
Yeah,
there's
somebody that does know how to do whatever.
Who knows just whatever to do.
Air conditioning, just whatever you need to know about.
I think just to add to that, you know, when we, before the, we you started the show, came up with the idea, we would sit around and talk, and I think it's the thing that amazes me the most out of the whole deal is that the numbers of blind people that we've met that have the same interest.
Yeah,
that's
And,
sure.
You know, and it comes down to the bottom line is blind people are just, or people can do anything that just happen to be blind.
That's right. And you just, my garbage disposal goes out as often as everybody else's.
That's right.
Anyway.
And you know, and the blindness, I mean, it's not an issue of being able to, the blindness isn't the issue, it's the knowledge of knowing how to do it. And with the blindness, you have to find the way to do it.
To do it, right.
I mean, especially for my case, after losing my sight, I went out and found my table saw. My family had piled it up and kind of buried it. I threw everything off and went to the fence because I knew I could find lumber in the fence, pulled a fence picket off, and built me a birdhouse.
Yeah.
And it took me 5.5 hours, but I did it. I had all my fingers left, and afterwards I had a much bigger knowledge base of how to do things as a impaired person.
Yep.
Well, aren't we proud of ourselves? We are. We're happy.
Toot your own horn.
Right. Go ahead, Tommy. You got something else?
Yes, I've got another one here. It says, "Hello, handyman. My name is Charles Rackard. I live in Unadilla, New York. I listened to your Blind Handyman show last evening on ACB's main menu and found it more than interesting. I believe that your show is long overdue. I've been totally blind since birth, and like you guys, I haven't let my disability get in the way of living. My wife, who is sighted, and I recently purchased an almost 200-year-old house, although not on the historical register yet. It is a historic house built in 1804 by one of the prominent businessmen in the town at that time. We are beginning to restore the home and plan to place it on the registry, although it is currently in an historic district.
Uh-huh.
Although blind, I have been and will continue to do much of the work myself with my wife, of course. My family has been in the woodworking arena in one form or another for generations, whether building houses, furniture, restoring antiques, etc. I've always had an interest in woodworking and have worked on many home projects over the years. This big old house has given me a list of projects longer than you can imagine.
I bet.
But I feel that my wife and I, with the help of neighbors and friends, have the rest of our lives to get it done. I also have an interest in automobiles and maintain, repair, and fuss with our family vehicles and plan someday to restore an old car. I use many adapted tools and jigs to work in wood and on many other projects. My neighbor and I are always coming up with some idea or finding something in the catalogs that would help. Although I only work part-time in the human services field and have worked for many years in the past in the computer field, I seem to be most happy when working on a project around the house. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that we also have a carriage house believed to have been built in the late 1700s, mm-hmm. which really needs some TLC.
Amazing.
Regards, Charles Rackard.
We need to call it boy back and have him on the show.
We sure do. We need to get that guy for a guest again.
Medilla, New York.
Yeah.
Well, I figure by the time he gets all of those projects finished, he'll be on the historic record.
Well, yeah, it may.
Yes.
That's a major undertaking. Yes.
And just the awesome architecture of the past coming to life. I mean, you're going to have 2x12 beams that are actually 2x12.
Square nails and
square nails or wooden nails, right. And you know, probably better built product than what we have now.
Well, we interviewed this guy, and he was working in the garage, and they had gotten rid of some of the wall and rebeamed the wall. We've had him on a couple times. He was putting some foundation beam or something in.
Yeah,
in the
remember
garage.
That big
project.
Huge,
sharp guy.
Yeah, he had nailed two, 4x4s together to make a beam.
Yeah,
I mean, talk about a beam.
That is a beam.
You know, that's a beam. What? You got any more? Is that
also
it?
That's it.
All right. Well, that means we need to take a break, huh?
Yes, sir.
About that time.
Well,
let me just say this, sir. Maybe next week. What do you think, huh?
I don't know. It looks like there's a possibility of me getting out of here at least over the weekend. He told me this morning.
He's really getting tired. He's getting tired of running the board, Thomas, and we're getting tired of it too.
I'm sick of running the board. Just to be honest, I love to do the show.
Well,
but
trust me, I miss it.
Time to have you back.
I don't care nothing about running the show.
I tell you, Tom,
board.
Just say the word. you know, Kelsey's here. We'll put Kelsey in the car. He'll drive us over there. We'll spring you.
Spring you out of there.
She told me what the deal is on Medicare. I better stay here.
That's true. Kelsey's not that much of a driver, and he doesn't have that much money either.
Listen, good talking to you, and we're going to go and put our guest. We have Tom Fowle from Smith Kittlewell Institute on as our guest today, but I'll talk to you in the morning, all right?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. All right. Back in a minute with more of the Blind Handyman. We'll be back in our guest in just a second. Hang on.
My name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move
Love
to a warmer
is
place,
blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine
you know
for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, and so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and as kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had just had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love. It's hard to believe that we've done 110 of these.
It is. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Absolutely amazing.
110.
110. That's absolutely amazing. How did we... Who'd want to listen to 110 hours of us just doing this?
I don't know.
Who we have from Smith Kettlewell in California, Tom Fowle. How are you, sir?
All right. How are you, Don and Phil?
We are doing
fine. Good.
We've got Dale Campbell and Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and I'm Phil Parr. And good to have you with us, sir.
Good to have you back.
Well, he had the Don and Phil down. If he had said Dale, he'd have had us all.
He would have named us all.
No, Dale was there. Hello, Dale.
Yeah, how you doing? They yanked me out of the kitchen today.
Yeah, we've got him not cooking today. He's handymanning today and helping us. One of our guys is out, and so he came up to help us do the show.
What a change of pace.
Now, you're in Los Angeles? You're in...
San Francisco.
All right.
Yeah at Smith Kettlewell Institute in San Francisco.
Yeah, Smith Kettlewell Institute. And some people have heard of us and some haven't. I can give you a real brief. We are one of about 20 rehabilitation engineering research centers scattered around the country,
mm-hmm.
each one specializing in a different disability. So there's one for back injuries and so on and so forth. And these are all funded by the National Institute on Disability and Rehabilitation Research, GASP, which is part of the Department of Education.
Uh-huh.
And our goal is supposed to be to use off-the-shelf technology to improve the daily living and job situations for blind folks. So
here
we have three blind guys and some other sighted people that we tolerate. Oh, no.
Those sighties, you know.
Yeah.
Watch those sighties.
In the lab here, and we use computers, but we don't do computers. We aren't reinventing screen readers,
although
we'd sure like to.
Yeah.
We do stuff that nobody else tackles if we think we can tackle it. So we tend to do a lot of instrumentation. If somebody's got a job at the widget factory and they've got a widget meter with a here comes a curse word, display on it, they try to reinvent the wheel and make an audible or whatever one. That's kind of what we're about here.
Yep.
Well, you know, that would tie in with kind of what we're about. And we wonder, have y'all done anything as far as, like, tools, the handyman-type tools?
And, by the way, the other thing I need to make absolutely clear is that we don't produce anything.
I understand.
We make one. And that's because of restrictions in our federal grant that don't allow us to get into manufacturing.
Right.
The magic of capitalism is supposed to come along and see our wonderful, brilliant ideas and say, oh, boy, we want to make 36 of these.
We'll pick that up.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
That doesn't work very often.
The company on TV that says they don't make what you use, they make what you use better, right?
Yeah, well, don't we wish?
Yeah.
We've done a lot of things. We've done carpenter's levels and long time ago adapted micrometers. And
how about like a voltage meter or?
We do
like
a lot
that.
of metering type gadgets.
Very useful.
Very useful. And for instance, you can get talking. They call them DMMs, digital multimeters nowadays, and commercially, and they're all fine and well and good. Unless you're actually trying to make an adjustment, if you're actually trying to adjust something, speech is so slow that you'll blow something up before you ever get it right. We've done a lot of things that use variable pitch tones and tones that change in quality in different ways or beep or whatever that give you a much faster indication of how something is going on.
Yeah.
Many years ago, we also did an oscilloscope, an audible oscilloscope. An oscilloscope being a device with a small visual screen like a TV that shows the shapes of electrical waveforms. And that is actually in small-scale production by a blind guy named Richard Ohm down here in Silicon Valley.
Wait a minute. His name is Richard Ohm. Ohm's
wonderful.
Law. Come on.
It's actually Irm.
That's great.
Irm. It's O-E-H-M.
Yeah.
But he's one of the hottest blind electronicers that I know. Has his own company. He makes custom equipment for the cable TV industry of all the absolutely cool things.
Really?
That is awesome.
We need to talk to that guy.
On the side, he makes this oscilloscope. He also makes a VU meter for audio freaks.
That was my question.
Yeah, it makes a very accessible audible VU meter.
Right. I've got a set of little meters that beep, and I've got them set with my board. When I hit the red, they will make a noise.
Yeah.
And everybody I tell about them say, my God, can you have your engineer build me a set?
Yeah.
So you know now of a place that one can be purchased.
Yes. It's I don't even know if he has a website. It's OEHMELECT, Ohm Electronics. You can look him up in Campbell, California.
Yeah,
hey.
And call Richard, and it is not, you know, these are custom-made devices, so they ain't cheap.
No.
If you need one, you need one.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I told the guy who built it for me, it is the most valuable thing he's ever done, and he works on stuff for me all the time, but I couldn't live without it. Because now I can push that CD to the absolute, you know, level, to where I want it. Whereas before, you had to make two or three to figure out where you were.
Right. And you can run consistent levels. I've heard many productions by blind folks who don't think they need level meters. And their levels are all over the map, and they just never notice.
You think you can do it, but you can't. I've been there.
Right.
I've done that. I did production without this thing for years.
Yeah.
other than the ohm meter you're talking about, and this is a custom thing, and you say y'all are just the tester. I mean, y'all build the prototype, and then
yes.
What, Nate, is there anything out there now that the consumer can get that y'all have had a hand in?
The major thing that's been a semi-success is a product called Talking Signs.
Yes. Okay.
And,
I'm very
familiar.
Many
of you may
those.
Have heard of them.
Yeah.
And it's an infrared remote signage system, and we're just about to get it made official under the access board with the ADA,
uh-huh.
so that it's the official infrared remote signage system.
That's an
so
awesome
you don't
system.
Hear, it doesn't make the building yell at you. You carry a receiver in your hand, and when you want to know what signs are around, you physically point around with this receiver held flat in your hand, and you will hear speech. And you get the speech for whatever it says, restroom, telephone, whatever you need.
Beat swinging the dog around.
And you get directional information.
Yeah.
You know where that sign is.
Well, and one thing that's great about the talking signs in the demo that I heard, it's like vision. The items that are the places or things that are further away come in fainter.
Yes.
Whereas the items that are closer or the signs and locations that are closer come in louder.
And also, as you are not quite pointed at a talking sign, it gets a little bit noisy.
Right.
Some people
static,
will complain
right?
about that, but it's actually an intentional plan.
Sure.
We did it that way so you can actually tell when you are pointed directly at a sign.
Right. You're lined up so you're not left or right of
yeah,
your target.
Yeah, exactly.
I read an article about, aren't these are in use in some foreign cities and some not...
Yeah, they're actually being manufactured by Mitsubishi Precision in Japan, and so right now the Japanese are spending money like there's no tomorrow on infrastructure. So every nutcase idea that you've heard of for blind mobility and some good ones are being implemented, including talking signs.
Really?
They're going kind of crazy, but the advantage that will have for us is that the talking signs equipment will get more sophisticated and cheaper.
And the Canadians are reading digital talking books, so where does that leave us there, you know?
Now, coming slowly.
Are y'all...
Anybody seen the Bookport?
Yeah, I've got one.
The Bookport was designed by a blind guy, and we know why that worked. Larry Skutkan is one of the smartest guys since breakfast. And
I love
fun.
The Bookport, but why did they put such a cheap speech engine in it?
Yeah,
it's small, physically
rough.
Small and low power.
I would have certainly paid more to have had a... I can't read a book with that speech engine.
I can.
Can you? Well, if you can, yeah. I can, by God.
I can. I prefer digitized speech, and you can have things that way, too, if you want. You know, digitized person, but
yeah.
I have read fiction with it, and you know.
Well, if you can, I can. That's just the way.
Notice how long that darn thing runs on a set of batteries.
For 70 hours.
Forever.
Whoa. 70 hours on a set. I love it. It's a wonderful navigation machine.
Yep.
It is a beautiful piece of equipment. I was just so disappointed in the speech.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the reason is that it's low power consumption and physically small. If they had wanted to run the Bell Labs speech or something like that, they would have had to put a Pentium-grade processor in there, and it would have just ate up batteries like there's no tomorrow.
And boosted the cost also, right?
And boosted the cost. I think he made the right choice.
Well, if you can get used to anything.
Yeah.
If you want to. It's just, you've heard these other speeches, and you think, well, gosh, why didn't everything have that?
Yeah. The Weather Service has implemented the Bell Labs speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
And about all that's good for is rolling on the floor laughing. I think the previous one was better. You know, intelligibility is what matters. It isn't how cute it sounds. You know, have you ever heard that thing try to pronounce buoy?
No. I heard it trying to pronounce Kinder, Louisiana the other day.
Yeah.
It's now kinder.
That's kinder and gentler. Remember that?
Eloquence is hard to beat. I mean, there's no...
Oh,
you know.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
But Deck Talk was pretty awesome, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So other than something like your signs would be for the blind community at large, do y'all do anything, like say, back again, like just to the consumer? You know, I could go down to, do you have anything on the drawing board that's going to make my life easy.
My colleague Josh Mealy, who is a recent PhD graduate from Cal Berkeley and a physicist and worked for NASA, also worked for Berkeley Systems when they did the better Windows screen reader Outspoken, which of course didn't win because it was better.
That's how it works.
Josh is now working here and is our hope for the future. He has a process called TMAPS.
Okay.
This is a web-based system where if you have a web browser, any web browser, and a Braille embosser, you will be able to go to this system and say, I want a street map of Lufkin, Texas, centering on 2398 Hoositz Road, and with this scale, you choose the scale you want, you know, how many hundred feet per inch, and check off a few other things, and say go, and 2 minutes later it will send you back a file that can be embossed on your Braille embosser of a street map.
And you'll have a street map of Lufkin, Texas.
Of anywhere you want in the United States.
That is great.
That is cool.
And that is, you know, where a lot of us are not used to maps, tactile maps.
How far is, what is like the radius or such of the area around the address you put in?
You choose the scale.
Okay.
So, and it's an interesting game because if you make the map too fine a scale, there's too much on it.
Yeah.
You can't figure it out.
Yeah.
If you make it too large a scale, I've done them where there's four streets on a on a 8.5 by 11 page. So it takes some fooling with, but you can.
So you adjust your scale and it prints it out on the 8.5 by 11.
Or on
whatever
you want. Yeah.
That is
the
awesome.
Ultimate, of course, is a View Plus Tiger embosser. Well, on 11.5 by 17 paper.
Sure.
Because you got the high resolution and everything, but you don't have to. It'll work on a Blazor.
You'll put your coordinates in, you'll send them to a website and get this, or will this be a standalone program I can buy?
No, it is a website now because eventually they want to change the map engine on which it's based, and lots of it would be much easier to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fast and quick and you know, works with any browser. So I think it's the right choice at this time to have it a website.
Oh, probably,
sure.
You can
go sign up to be a beta tester by going
to our website, which is ws.ski.org/TMAP. ws.ski.org, and you can look around on the Smith-Kettlewell website, too. There's a lot of vision research and other interesting things there.
And you could be, you say you can be a beta tester?
You can be a beta tester.
All right.
You know, that's really a neat thing, talking about the maps and needing, you know, if you have a real quality embosser, because a lot of institutions, i.e. libraries and or schools are doing that. So if you really needed a map, it would probably not be impossible to go to your local library, or our boy Don Shaw works here at our local little college. And I know our school system here just bought a neat graph-making machine for a blind student.
Right.
And so you could come up with some quality maps with this.
Sure
could. Man.
Right. And they aren't, you realize, they're not the big, you know, plastic relief maps we've seen. They're line drawings.
Yeah, right.
But they are labeled. What they do is that they use abbreviations. They use three-letter abbreviations, and then you get a key.
Right.
You don't want to put the entire street name on the map,
right,
and you'll never figure it out.
You wouldn't.
I live on West Forest View Road.
Yeah.
We don't want
that.
That
could be,
That would take up some, that would take the entire sheet of
it. It would.
Yeah.
Well, how long is it, will it, do you have it at some sort of ETA as to when this will be available to anyone?
Yeah.
I keep harassing Josh about this, and I believe it's technically ready. The problem is that if he makes it available to everyone, he'll spend all of his time doing tech support. So he's applying for a grant to hire somebody to do tech support for it, and as soon as that comes through, I believe that's the major stumbling block. We expect, I'm not absolutely sure, but I expect him to have a demonstration at the upcoming California Transcribers and Educators of the Visually Horrible, CTEVH, conference this in March. I think he's going to be taking it to CSUN. I'm not sure about that, but I think so.
What about the conventions this summer? Would you have?
I don't know about.
Yeah. Well, Smith Kettlewell.
We kind of stayed away from the conventions because we are PO'd at both organizations. I'm not supposed to say that.
Oh, you can say that here.
I'm not supposed to say it here. Because of Smith Kettlewell, but I say things anyway to get myself in trouble.
But don't forget at the organizations, you're not supporting the organization as much as you're getting your information out.
Absolutely.
You know, for the base.
Yeah, I just don't know what Josh's plans are.
Yeah, we aren't tied to either organization. They run us on ACB radio, but if there was an NFB radio, we'd run there, too.
Yeah, that's the deal.
Right, I understand that.
About your organization, the funding, you said that, talking about grant money. Is this a perpetual grant, or do y'all reapply for?
It's a five-year cycle, and our five-year cycle is up this April, and we're panting and sweating and inventing new ideas and things.
So y'all have to rewrite the grant each time?
Yep, we write the grant. We have a wonderful director, our friend and director, John Braben, who is one of the neater people on the face of the planet to work for. And I'm not saying that to be nice, because he probably isn't listening.
No.
He's just a neat guy. He's a brilliant grant writer. He has a very high hit rate.
A lot of places to hire just that.
He's also a good engineer, which is a miraculous combination.
Are you in, you wouldn't be in competition with, but you know about Sendero Group, right?
Oh, sure. Now, we've collaborated with Mike on several occasions.
That's what I was thinking. I had him on my Blind Like Me show.
Yeah.
And they've got, I think it was him that's telling me about it. I read so much stuff. Do you have, or does he have, the laser cane?
Mike certainly wouldn't waste any time on a laser cane. Are you talking about that? There's a new ultrasonic cane from England with vibrators on it.
Yeah, and that's supposed to tell you that you're fixing to run into an object 10 feet away.
Yeah,
really?
Who cares?
My colleague
Bill Gary and I and Josh are very hard-nosed about these mobility devices.
So you're saying that you don't think knowing 10 feet away wouldn't be
no,
wouldn't care.
Because what it'll be most of the time is a person who's gone by the time you get there.
That's
right.
True.
Right. Yeah.
So
this
is the way we look at mobility devices. All they can tell me is something I can do something about.
Uh-huh.
In other words, all I want to know from a mobility device is information about which I can do something. I can't do anything about something that's 10 feet away because it's probably going to be gone by the time I get there. So who cares? I have seen a review by a competent engineer in England of this new British ultrasonic cane that has vibrators on it, and he absolutely trashed it. It's the other thing they do is they give you false positives, which means they tell you something that isn't true.
Yeah.
And what happens with folks and devices like this that present a lot of false positives, a lot of something's there and it isn't, is you give up on it real quick.
Sure you would.
Uh-huh.
Because all you do is, if it tells you there's something ahead of you, you slow down and feel around, there's nothing there. Pretty quick you say, the heck with this nonsense.
It's like the
boy that cried wolf.
Yeah. Rain shine.
Same deal.
Get the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm still using a wooden cane, so that's where I am. That's,
Yeah.
I like it. It's what I grew up with, and so it's what I use. I bought it at the hardware store and painted it white.
Yeah, right. Not a bad idea. I'm using a solid fiberglass rain shine cane from 1963.
Yeah.
And I've had it painted a couple of times.
And this isn't a rolling cane? Have you ever seen it?
No. It's a Rain Shine Umbrella Company makes them.
I'd like to see a rolling. I think that rolling cane would be interesting to experiment with.
The thing that it doesn't give you is the tap, and that tap is very important as an echolocation.
The noise. Yes. That's all I use mine for.
Yeah.
Is the tap. I'm just taking my driveway's 500 feet long, and I just don't want to walk off in the ditch on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
We're fortunate here. We live about 30 miles from Stephen F. Austin University, who has a whole department devoted to blind, teaching teachers of the vision, and they make canes.
Oh, yeah.
They teach their students, and, you can get a cane made from them to fit your, length and width and all that.
You were a cane traveler as opposed to a dog?
Yes.
Dog guide.
That's just a matter of personal choice.
It is. Totally personal choice.
Absolutely.
My cane is in my golf bag, and that's I use it on the golf course, and that's it.
Yeah.
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 All right. What else are you working on? You're working. What about a GPS? Are y'all involved in that?
We're not doing much with that because Mike and people like that are.
Yeah. Boy, they are.
Although one of Josh's eventual projects is to try to adapt a PDA like the Palm with open source software so that you can have a cheap PDA, and that would. One of the things that would be nice would be a GPS on top of that. But that's
Did I read that there was software coming out that you can install on an off-the-shelf PDA that will make it talk? Did I read that somewhere?
Well, there is text-to-speech.
Yeah.
But I don't know of a screen reader or adapted applications on an off-the-shelf PDA.
Maybe some of that new software for the talking phones will be eventually adapted for.
Well,
that.
Eventually, all that stuff will sort of merge into one gadget.
Right. You think so?
If you're are you taking requests? I would like to see it. You know, they have all these laser levels where you can shoot a line. We need something. I'm partially sighted, but we need something that talks to you, where I can shoot a line and it's going to tell me the exact distance across there.
That's okay if you're partially sighted so that you can see that you've hit what you want to
right.
hit. The reason I haven't done one, or if one of us hasn't done one, is because we can't figure out how to make it useful for blind folks, and I have to admit that since the three of us are totals here, we tend to be a little prejudiced.
Well, absolutely.
Your partials can get along on your own. The heck with you. Oh, no.
Right?
He didn't mean that.
I agree. Yeah.
I did, too.
All you partial-sighted folks, hey.
Yeah,
you've ran me into walls before, damn it.
Right. But it is an interesting problem. It's one of those things that's on my list to try to look at sometime.
Yeah, it'd be useful.
Because to me it seems like it would be fairly simple. I mean, in other words, you would be able to take precise inside measurements. I mean, whether you could see or not, if you were standing and you had your device that could shoot the beam across there, I'm talking about finding distances across instead of trying to string a talking tape or a braille tape measure, if you could just punch a button and it shoots a beam and comes back and tells you how far.
11 feet, 10 inches.
It turns out that what's difficult to do, and this is we're constantly banging our heads against this problem, when somebody manufactures something, the way they make stuff nowadays, they make things as small and efficient as they are because they make a million.
Yeah.
And once it's done, it's very difficult to reverse modify, engineer that, get back in there and get at the data. Because it's all burned into a dedicated chip.
Yep.
And there simply is no way to wire in there. There's a way, but it's very difficult to get at the information. And that's been one of our constant issues here is to try to get the industry to develop a standard simple bus on things.
A standard interface, and
there have been proposals and suggestions, and there was the consumer electronics bus that looked possible for a while, where people were talking about every gadget in your home being hooked up together. It's going nowhere. It's not happening.
Yeah,
I mean,
and not
nobody
gonna
wants
happen.
Their refrigerator hooked up to the internet.
That's
I know.
That's right.
I know.
So I don't know what the solution to that is.
Yeah.
This whole problem of adapting, you know, getting the manufacturers to fix things so that we can have at them. It's an issue we haven't resolved.
Well, it's the demand and supply thing. And Panasonic recently has been looking into making, you know, all of their electronics speak for the visually impaired, but they've put it on the shelf again.
Right.
Simply because they don't feel the market is there.
And, you know, it's amazing. When you run into companies who have actually decided to do it, they're never sorry.
No.
Yeah, there's only 7 million of us.
No.
You know?
You notice that's the banks now and think then they invented talking ATMs.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, a complete crock.
Yes.
Yeah.
They love it now.
Yes.
Well, I think about all the voice-to-speech technology that the police cars use now. Instead of waiting for the dispatcher to tell you the license number, a single police, you know, a car with one officer can be out with his suspect and hear his computer reading in the information he needs, you know.
It's sooner or later, it's coming. I mean, it's coming.
You know,
it's going to be a time thing.
in a supermarket here, local supermarket, they now have one checkout lane that's the automated system. Now, I don't actually approve of that because it's taken jobs away from folks, and I'm a little sick of technology taking jobs away from people. But they have it, and, you know, it talks, and they just didn't quite finish it so that it would be accessible. So
yeah,
it doesn't
right,
tell
yeah,
you
yeah.
what the price of the product you put up there is and what the name of it is. And it doesn't give you the weights on the scale, and it doesn't allow you to select produce. It would have been 10% harder for them to do it right.
Yes.
But they did.
They meet that minimum standard.
They meet the
minimum
standard.
Because that's what they think is required.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that much, like you said, for them to go the extra, when they've already put as much into it to get to the point they're at.
Well, I'm working on the talking gas pump. I think that's going to be a big breakthrough.
Drive
our cars up and fill them up there.
The NFB's research center says they're going to work on a talking car.
That's
me off the road.
Wait a minute. We've got a friend that's on one of our lists named Dan Rossi.
Dan.
You know Dan works at Carnegie Mellon.
Yeah.
They drove a
Mark
car. Knight. You know about this. Drove a car across the United States with the computer doing the steering.
Yeah, I think that's a little stretchy. I don't say Dan isn't telling you the truth.
Oh, you don't mean it. You can't mean it.
No, Dan explained it, and I don't remember the exact explanation, but collision avoidance and things like that are going to be pretty tricky.
I would think so. Yeah. Listen, we got to go. We're going to give you 6 months and call you back, and you can tell us some good stories again.
Yeah. Tell us
some
more.
And we appreciate your posts on the handyman lists. And
of fun. There's some very neat people out there.
We'd like to have you on the Blind Like Me list anytime you want to join. Well, we'll be happy to have you.
Yeah, I've been tempted, and it's just...
more than you can handle? Just too much?
Just too much. I wouldn't get any work done. And they'd catch me at it.
And they would. Tom, thank you so much, sir, and we'll check with you in a month or two, all right?
Thank you, gentlemen.
All
take care.
Bye.
Back with more of our little show... Pardon me, I'm moving the wrong things here. Back with more of our little show called The Blind Handyman in just a sec. Hang on.
My name's Donna, and for the past 5 years, I've lived up here in the cold country, Rochester, Minnesota. I'd love to move to a warmer place.
Love is blind.
But, you know,
the audio magazine for singles.
Anyway, I'm around 32 years old, give or take a couple of years, and never been married. Oh, come close once or twice, but things just didn't work out.
If you'd like more information about this exciting new magazine, phone toll-free 1-877-222-0679. That's 1-877-222-0679. Or you can receive the same information as an email. Our address is loveisblind, all one word, at blindlikeme.com. That's loveisblind at blindlikeme.com.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to, I want to a nice house and as kids and a good job. But how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love. Well, what a guy. Smith Kettlewell.
I'd yeah.
I'd like to go out there and visit with him, wouldn't you?
I'd like to see those talking
awesome.
Meters.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Helping the blind to see.
Have to order a talking meter, I reckon I will.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No kidding, man.
Well, there's the phone. We'll have to...
Whoa, what a deal. But, yeah, I'd like to have one of those talking meters. That'd be very useful at times to be able to do.
Yeah, it would be.
Very much so.
Test something, some equipment.
Yeah, do things like that.
Well, even if you're wiring, doing any electric wiring, be able to have a meter to pop it in and make sure that you've got it wired properly.
Well, see, that's the deal. Radio Shack made a talking voltometer for less than $100, but they quit making it, of course.
Right.
Useful for Don Patterson's garage wiring project.
Speaking of garage wiring project.
Speaking of wiring.
Mr. Yeah. Patterson?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine.
And is it time to handyman Don to wire the garage?
Yes.
Huh?
Well, and I'm proud to say that I'm completed that project.
Was it a shocking experience?
Well, let me tell you, I learned it was different. And I cannot believe that I used 400 feet of wire.
Why?
And, you size it up. It's a 20 by 25 garage. And I have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 8 plugs. Uh-huh. And say 3 or 4, 2 double switches and 2 single switches. And I did not make any frivolous runs. You know, a lot of times if you don't want to drill through something, it's easier to run a long distance and come back. But I didn't do that. And I was just amazed. I started out with 100 feet of wire.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you, that didn't last long.
Well, of course, a light in the middle of the ceiling, you run it over to the edge. Say it's in the middle of the ceiling. You got 10 feet across.
Right.
And then you got 8 or so feet down.
Well, I did. I ran 2. I have 3 lights up in the ceiling, so I did all that. But wiring, just general wiring. Now, this does not include installing the breaker box, which I'll get to. But it's very simple and it's really blind friendly.
Wiring.
And,
yes, it is.
Because if you put your switches, your on and off switches at a certain height. I happen to put mine at 46.5 inches, but you could have put them at 47, whatever's comfortable. And your wall plugs, instead of putting mine down, a foot or so above the baseboard,
you put them up,
I wanted mine at chest level, where I can walk up and find a plug.
Good idea.
It's a garage, and so I put them at 42 inches.
Oh, sure.
So then you know that to go get through your top plate is like 4 feet something, and then you measure your straight distance. But the way I actually measured my wire, instead of trying to string the wire and then cut it, messing with this large roll, I took my tape measure. I have a 30-foot tape measure, and I would put the end of it at the end of the wire, and then I would go out 5 feet, and then I would grab it there, and then I would pull. And so I measured the wire that I needed with my tape measure, just stringing them out.
And then cut it off.
And then cutting off at that point. And, of course, your wire is not going to be so taut, so you're going to have extra. And let me tell you, extra is better than not enough.
Yes. Oh, sure.
You can cut off, but you can't stretch it.
Yeah. It's hard to find one of those wire stretchers.
It's hard to find
a wire. You know, when I've run lots of wires in lots of places. I've wired radio stations and wired studios. You know how I measure wire? I measure it by the spread of my arms, which is almost 6 feet.
Well, that's
so
a good
take
right.
In your left hand, and you stick your right arm out, and you spread your arms out, and you got 6 feet, and you just keep moving, and it'll come out. If you want 24 feet, you just leave a little extra, and like you said, a little extra is better.
And the way even a totally blind person could do this, too, like say if you have that you've put your light fixture, and just for this purpose, we'll say in the center of the room.
Okay.
You can just take like a closet pole or put you a two by four up there by it, but roughly where it's coming, going to be down on the floor.
Uh-huh.
And then I did all my measuring on the floor. In other words, you know that you're going to go from your switch up to get to your top plate. It's going to be 5 feet of wire.
Distance are going to be
the same.
The distance is going to
be the same. So then you measure just diagonally.
From where
you want, and then add your 5 feet, your riser, and that. And I didn't miss not one time. And also in the wiring, and there again, this would apply to any sighted person or anybody. If you weren't exactly sure of what you're doing, I knew the one thing that I wasn't sure about is how they wire for the overhead garage door opener.
Uh-huh.
And so I called our local company and I said, what kind of wires do you need and where do you need them to put in my switch and then your automatic garage door opener?
Uh-huh.
He said, I like to have a plug up in the ceiling. We just plug it in. How far do you want it from the door? I want it 10 feet from that opening. He said, that'll give me. And then he said, I need 3 runs of telephone wire, one to the left side and back to that plug up there, one to the right side and back, and then one over to you where you want your switch. And so I did all. So he's ready. I'm ready for the guy. I didn't know how to do that.
There's nothing wrong with when you're unsure, make a phone call.
Make a phone call.
And find out.
What is he going to use the telephone wire
for? For his sensor. It's low voltage for his garage door opener.
Yeah, it's low voltage line.
Okay.
Low
for the sensor on each side of the door.
And then the sensor on each side of the door.
It's for those dummy switches, too, right?
And then he just plugs in his unit. Instead of wiring it in, you just have a wall plug up there, and you wire it in.
Like we built this house. We put a plug above the fireplace.
And basically,
plug the mantle clock in.
The tools I needed, you know, a lot of people, blind people especially, strip wire in their own little ways. I've tried to use tools designed for it, but actually I have a little pocket knife that to me is the best little wire stripper. I used that, but I used about a half-inch drill bit. A paddle, a wood paddle. The biggest thing I drilled, biggest thing I drilled through was a double 2x12 with its space. So that was the hardest drilling.
3 inches.
And about 3.5, 4 almost. And and just taking precise measurements and then knowing what your end objective is, you know. And
When you ran these, did you actually tie them into the outlets too and run your breakers and wire your breakers
too? I went to where the breaker box is going to, and then
No,
I'm going to get it. I'm going to do it myself. I have my wires there, and I'm ready.
You're going to wire
ready
the breaker.
To roll with it.
Well, wiring a breaker box is really pretty simple.
It's very
simple. We'll talk about it next time because we're out of time.
Blind electricians.
Blind electrician. Blind wiring. Wiring is a very blind friendly thing.
It is.
It screws and wiring, it's physical. It's something you don't have to see to do.
A equals B and that equals C.
The hardest thing I did was wiring the three-way switch.
We need to talk about that. I want to talk about that diagram because I don't understand how to do that.
Okay.
Another show there.
Dale Campbell, thank you guys for having me and helping us. Dale Kelsey, hi. You could come up anytime, sir, you want to. You and Frank can ride up anytime and visit with us.
Y'all ride up this way.
We'll do
Don
that.
Don Shaw, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
Hell yeah.
And
good show.
Don Patterson, of course.
Yes, sir. And hurry back, Tom.
Mr. Electrician Man. Yeah, hurry back, Tom.
Yes,
we'll see
Tom,
you next
we miss you.
We'll do this again next week, and we thank you for listening. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.